Chapter 39. 2140 hours. November 3rd, 2552, military calendar. Zeta Doradus system. Undetermined location in the Forerunner construct known as Onyx. Core room antechamber. The crack of Linda's sniper rifle was uncharacteristically quiet. The sound dissipated in the vast room. 200 meters from her perch, a grunt cried out. It fell, killed by the headshot. A jet of methane from its breathing apparatus ignited and spewed fire. That was five. The creatures had appeared on translocation pads, chittering like a dozen cockroaches, lugging parts of an energy shield unit. They had looked confused, running in random directions, until downed by Linda. Without shifting from her flat position, or removing her gaze from the Oracle scope, Linda dropped her magazine and inserted a new one. Lying next to her in a precise row were five magazines, all she had left. Kurt surveyed his team. They'd taken the only logical, defensible position in the room, atop the artificial hill of concentric rings. The top of the structure was crowned with a meter-wide ledge and 13 fin-like towers that provided ample cover. The Spartans and Mendez took posts on either side of three of these towers. Kelly had placed their last Lotus anti-tank mines at the base of the hill, enough explosive force to penetrate the ultra-dense armor of an M808 Scorpion main battle tank. His team had height, clean lines of fire, and yet Kurt knew they were entirely vulnerable, surrounded by so many translocation pads. Inside the ring of towers, a series of additional concentric circles fell steeply into the middle of the structure. In the exact center was a hole 3 meters wide, glowing with a brilliant blue-white heatless illumination. This was, ostensibly, the doorway to the core room they sought. It was open, but in the time they'd been here, the rings on the hill's outer and inner slopes had continued to flatten, and the fin towers had tilted and angled inward. The entire structure was closing like the petal of a great flower. Kurt glanced at his mission timer. 21 minutes, 22 seconds. Holographic control surfaces shimmered about the edge of the hole, and Dr. Halsey crouched there, laptop open, her tiny mote of light AI flitting among the symbols. She hadn't flinched at the sound of the sniper rifle, her full concentration fixed upon the center. Around her, Kurt had set the 8 sleeper pods for additional cover. "Compressed slipspace field," Dr. Halsey whispered to her computer. "Transdimensional crossover confirmed. Impossible in normal three space. At least larger than the Fermi-Planck limit."
"Action on deck!"
Mendez cried. The translocation pads scattered across the white room flickered with rings of gold. Upon dozens of pads, 200 grunts materialized. They screamed, fired plasma and needler pistols, and charged. Kurt had never been afraid of these diminutive aliens, but this was different. The cowardly creatures were wild-eyed and sprinted headlong toward them, clawing at the air. Their plasma bolts dissipated along their 200-meter-long trajectories, but several needler rounds exploded on the stones near Kurt.
"Hold your fire,"
he said over TeamCom. He scanned the advancing line and then passed them, spotted three teams of grunts setting up energy mortars.
"And back," he said. "Take out the artillery."
Linda fired twice. A trio of grunts assembling one mortar fell. Holly and Ash grabbed sniper rifles and picked off the other two grunt teams before the mortar's energy shields activated. The charging wave of grunts surged against the base of the hill, clambering over one another to rush up the steep terraces. "Mines?" Kelly calmly asked over the comm.
"Negative," Kurt replied.
"Rifles. Everyone. Sweep the slopes." Green acknowledgement lights burned. They eased out from cover and loosened streams of automatic fire over the target-rich terrain. The leading grunts jerked as bullets riddled their bodies. They fell backward onto their fellows, who struggled to maintain their forward momentum. Punctured breathing units spewed methane and blossomed into flame. Many grunts ignited, tumbled down the stairs, and desperately rolled to extinguish themselves. The Spartans dropped magazines, inserted fresh ones, and methodically continued shooting. The grunt slowed and stopped halfway up the stairs, fell back, dead and alive, still screaming, but now in terror. The survivors turned and fled, and were cut down. Heaps of grunts lay at the foot of the hill. Methane reverse tanks detonated, and burning armor and flesh spiraled up into columns of acrid smoke. Some grunts attempted to crawl to safety.
"Police the wounded," Kurt ordered. "Single shots."
His team quickly dispatched them. Then Kurt spotted his mistake. 250 meters back, almost lost in the glare of the vast room, stood elites, now safely behind stationary shield generators. Kurt increased the magnification on his faceplate. There were three groups equidistantly positioned around the hill. 30 elites in each. 12, 4, and 7 o'clock, Kurt whispered over team comm.
"Trouble."
"We've got 3 Spanker missiles left," Linda offered. "I could get a trajectory over those shield units."
Kurt then saw outlines that made his stomach clench, silhouettes that hulked over the smaller elites. 3 hunter pairs, 1 in each company.
"Too much firepower," he told Linda. "They downed them before impact. We'll wait for them to come to us. Stand by."
Above them, the towers leaned in at a 45-degree angle. The depth from the top of the hill to the center was now only 6 meters. Kurt could actually see the concentric rings settling, centimeter by centimeter. His countdown timer read, 17 minutes, 51 seconds. Every Spartan had about a dozen magazines for their MA-5B and MA-5K assault rifles, 3 grenades, sniper rifles, normally enough for nearly any engagement. This, however, would be a lopsided siege against an enemy who was well prepared and, Kurt had to admit it, outthinking them. He moved down to Dr. Halsey.
"Progress?" he whispered.
Dr. Halsey continued to stare at the white compressed space within the center. It flexed and revealed a tantalizing glimpse of normal daylight beyond, and then shifted back to glare and distortion.
"There is nothing I can do to hasten the closing of this aperture," she murmured. "Are you still set on remaining here until the last possible moment?"
"We can't allow the Covenant to get inside," Kurt said,
"and I'm not sending part of our team ahead. It would only weaken our forces here, and potentially leave any advance party facing sentinels on the other side."
She looked up at him and sighed. "I find myself reluctantly agreeing with your tactical analysis."
Kurt unholstered his M6 pistol and set it next to her.
"You may need this, Doctor. Keep your head down."
She took the gun and racked the slide as if she'd used one many times before. Kurt moved back to the upper ledge. The elites had spread out in 3 lines. They presented jackal shields, interlinked them, and started a slow advance toward the hill. It was another inspired tactic. If the Spartans fired at them, they'd just burn through these disposable shields and would still have their personal overshields to contend with. The hunter pairs towered in the center of the formations. The thick slabs of alloy they used for shields were impenetrable to any weapon they had. Kurt glanced to Ash standing by his side, and then to his pack on the ground. Inside were the 2 cut-down Fenris warheads. Kurt double-checked the detonator control pad in his gauntlet's data socket. Still there.
"All squads," Kurt ordered. "Counter incoming enemy vectors."
Ash and Olivia moved closer to Kurt at a 7 o'clock position. Kelly, Will, Holly, and Lucy clustered at 4 o'clock. Chief Mendez, Fred, Mark, and Tom took position at 12 o'clock.
"At 50 meters, Kurt continued, "pitch grenades to break those lines, plasma first to drain shields, then the frags. Ignore the hunters. Follow up with sniper fire. When they're close enough, use rifles."
"How close, sir?" Holly asked.
There was a quaver in her voice, not fear, but anticipation.
"When they're on the stairs," Kurt told her.
"Kelly, stand ready with the Lotus mines." Kurt knew they couldn't stop them all. Some would get to the base of the hill, and some would climb the stairs. How many depended upon their skill, timing, and a great deal of luck. Green acknowledgement lights flashed, and the Spartans tensed. The advancing elites were 200 meters away. They hadn't fired a single shot yet. Whoever commanded them showed uncommon restraint. Kurt searched for the glistening gold armor of a ship or fleet master, but only saw the red battle gear of Covenant majors on the field. 100 meters. The Spartan 3s shifted from foot to foot. A nervous gesture,
not mirrored in the battle-hardened Spartan IIs whose biosigns on Kurt's tactical display barely showed a flutter. Chief Mendez caught Kurt's assessing look and gave him a confident nod. This was what he and Mendez had trained the Spartans for their entire lives. They would survive this. They had to. At 50 meters, he spotted elite soldiers opening and closing their four hinged jaws as if anticipating human blood.
"Throw! Now!" Kurt ordered.
Blurred trajectories of burning blue plasma zipped through the air, followed by fragmentation grenades. The advancing elites hesitated, and a ripple distorted through their precise lines. The plasma grenades hit. There was a flash of blue-white that drained clusters of overlapping jackal shields and knocked many elites to their knees. Fragmentation grenades hit, bounced and rolled into their ranks, and exploded. Bodies and splashes of blood flew through the air. Blue and red armor tumbled from the center of the blast. Kurt hefted a sniper rifle and targeted elites, still dazed, their overshields weakened and flickering. The elite majors growled orders, and the lines struggled to close. Kurt squeezed off a shot, and the round tore through one elite's open helmet, emerging out the back in a spray of blue. To Kurt's right and left came the popcorn crackle of single shots, and more elites in the broken line fell. Three elites stood their ground and returned fire. Plasma bolts impacted on the stone near Kurt's head. He felt the heat wash over his spy armor plates. This was what he'd hoped for. Chaos. He'd happily exchange fire at this range when he had a scope, cover, and a superior angle. A hunter bellowed in rage, lumbered to one of the elites returning fire instead of reforming the line, and hammered that elite with one massive fist, crushing its spine. Turning, the hunter screamed at the other two elites, and they quickly closed ranks. Kurt kept firing, picking off stragglers as their formation knit together, shooting one elite in the knee joint, one in the eye, until their jackal shields overlapped. He took a quick body count, 11 down in the formation approaching his position. They continued their advance to less than 5 meters from the base of the stairs.
"Hold your fire," Kurt ordered. "Kelly, Lotus to standby."
The flower-like Lotus anti-tank mines had been placed in the crux of the first steps and overlaid with a square of silver reflective blanket that served as camouflage in the brilliant light. Two groups of five elites split from their line and took a position to either side of the stairs, angling their shields toward the top. Five more elites took cover behind them and opened fire. Plasma and crystal shards flashed up the slope. Kurt ducked, and the air scintillated overhead. He crawled to the edge and peered over. The hunters moved up the stairs, followed by the balance of the elite warriors, just passing the first step.
"Now!" he told Kelly.
The Lotus exploded into a multi-petaled flash of lightning, thunder, and fire, enveloping the approaching force. The concussive force roiled through Kurt's insides. Three simultaneous sonic booms echoed off the walls. Kurt popped up with his assault rifle and opened fire. Ash and Olivia were at his side, MA5Ks spitting rounds down the staircase. The hunter pair, halfway up the steps, stood stunned and bloodied by the concussive force, their impenetrable shields askew. Kurt aimed at the closest hunter's unarmored center. Rounds tore into its exposed flesh. The tangles of eels within his armor writhed and made the monster's bulk seem to boil. He grabbed his last plasma grenade, sidearmed it. The grenade stuck to the hunter's abdomen, flashed, and ignited a dozen of the orange eel symbiotes constituting his form. Many fell out, aflame, burning and squealing on the steps. The hunter staggered back and fell. The gestalt lost cohesion and spilled into a smoldering mound of worms. The surviving hunter ducked behind its shield, bellowing a vengeful cry. Kurt picked up a rifle and joined Ash and Olivia, combining fire to penetrate the overshields of the remaining elite soldiers on the stairs. A cluster of elites at the base regrouped, their shields regenerated, and they returned fire. Ash and Olivia ducked behind cover. The hill trembled behind Kurt. He turned and saw a hunter pair plod onto the top of the 4 o'clock position, flanked by a vanguard of three elites with energy swords. Kelly reacted first, moved in, grabbed an elite's wrist, and snapped it. She followed with an elbow to the elite's face, twisted the sword free,
and slashed, cutting it in half, as well as the two elites on either side. She spun to face the hunters. For once in her life, she was too slow. The monsters had leveled their fuel rod cannons at Kelly. They had her. Holly jumped between Kelly and the weapons. The hunters fired, outlining both Spartans in the blinding green radiation for a split second. The overpressure of both point-blank fuel rod cannon detonations threw Kelly, Will, and Lucy into the air. Holly exploded backward, a spray of molten spy armor, disintegrating flesh, and jets of smoke. Kurt stood horrified, frozen. But then instincts and training clicked on full force, and without thinking, he rushed forward before the hunters could finish his prone teammates. The nearest hunter turned on him faster than he expected, slicing its 2-ton shield into Kurt's solar plexus. The outer layer of Kurt's armor cracked, and the liquid ballistic underlayers failed and squirted out. Pain ripped through his torso, ribs cracked. He coughed and blood spattered the inside of his faceplate. He dropped in a heap at the hunter's boots, dazed, only recovering his wits enough to see the hunter raise both fists over him for the killing blow. Blinda's sniper rifle cracked. The exposed region of the hunter's midsection exploded in a mass of orange, but it remained miraculously upright. Will hurled himself at the hunter and knocked the beast off its feet and into its mate, and the three of them tumbled down the stairs. Kurt got up, ignoring the near-blinding pain, and limped to the edge. Will stood between both hunters at the base of the hill. He kicked the nearest in the unarmored middle and it staggered back. Around him were a dozen elites, who, confronted by the sight of a lone Spartan engaging two hunters in hand-to-hand combat, were momentarily too stunned to act. Kurt and Lucy opened fire, suppressing the elites, before they regained their senses. One hunter lashed out with its shield. Will ducked, darted inside its reach, and battered its bruised midsection, punching through flesh and ripping out wriggling chunks of the composite eel colony. The second hunter angled away from the fight and brought its cannon to bear. Will spun around. The hunter shot him. Will's energy shield vanished, and the front of his Mjolnir armor melted. He took a step toward the beast and collapsed. The hunter turned and roared at the Spartans at the top of the hill, and then started to bring its tremendous shield back in line. A Spanker missile screamed past Kurt's head, leaving a spiral of propellant exhaust, streaked toward the hunter, and impacted dead center of its mass. The air erupted into a blurred sphere of explosive force. The nearby elites were tossed aside like ragdolls, their shields flaring. The hunter burst into a cloud of snake-like parts that wetly spattered upon the floor. Kurt turned and saw Fred kneeling next to him, his spent Spanker tube smoking. It was silent. Nothing moved. Not the elites, the hunters, or William. Kelly and Linda finally rose, shaking off the concussion from the fuel rod cannon detonation. They stood with Kurt and Fred and stared at their fallen comrade. Ash was on his knees where Holly had stood a second ago. There were the outlines of 2 boot prints on the stone. Nothing else. 2 Spartans down in a matter of seconds. One an old friend. The other a girl Kurt had known since she was 4 years old. Yet, he couldn't stop and think about it. Not when they were surrounded by enemies. There were still many lives that were his responsibility. Kurt looked away and assessed the remaining threat. Olivia, posted at 7 o'clock, waved Kurt closer. He limped to her. "They just pulled back," she whispered. From the hill base, the hunter and the surviving elites had reformed their line and were retreating, already 50 meters away. Kurt made his way to the 12 o'clock point, to Mendez, Mark, and Tom. Chief Mendez met him. The old man had never looked so grim. "They're pulling back here too, sir," Mendez said. "Doesn't make sense. Covenant always fight to the last one." Kurt called up the roster on his display, still stained by his own blood, and checked team bio. Will's vitals were flatlined. Holly's signal was entirely missing. Over team comm, he said, "Eyes peeled, everyone. Kelly, get Will. Linda, cover her." They moved, but no green acknowledgement lights flashed, the only sign of their numbing grief. Kurt sat down, suddenly too tired to think. Then he noticed his bio signs.
Failing blood pressure, erratic heartbeat, electrolytes all wrong. There was internal bleeding. He found a can of biofoam, inserted its tip into his armor's midline injection port, and emptied it. The expanding liquid polymer chilled his chest. He closed his eyes, and when he looked again, his blood pressure had stabilized. His head had cleared. Fred made a short come-here gesture, and Kurt groggily rose and went to his comrade.
There!
Fred pointed to the far side of the core room.
350 meters. Step up polarization to 95%, sir, and you'll see them.
His voice trembled with rage. Kurt darkened his faceplate, and then understood the reason for the Covenant's retreat. Over 100 fresh elites massed behind energy shield generators. Banshee flyers zipped back and forth over them. Plasma cannons were assembled by squads of grunts. In the very front, Kurt spied a glint of gold armor. Their leader, staring back at him.
They softened us up before the main offensive, Kurt whispered.
Order, sir?
Fred asked. Between the mental shock of losing Holly, Will, and Dante, and the physiological shock his body fought off, Kurt had forgotten he was in charge. His duty, to get the alien technology and preserve the entire human race, came back with crushing weight. In truth, there were few options left. They could fight, advance to meet this new threat before their forces fully crystallized. In the open terrain, though, without artillery or armor or air support, even Spartans would be cut down. They could run, use the slipspace rift in the core. The Covenant force would certainly follow, possibly destroy them, and gain more Forerunner technologies. That was not acceptable. Not when it had cost them so much to get this far. There was still his last option. The nukes. If he couldn't stop the Covenant, he could deny them their prize. He'd take the warheads to the core and blow it all to hell.
Keep me posted, and stand by, he told Fred, and then limped down to the center.
Dr. Halsey met him.
I'm sorry, she whispered.
Holly and Will. She stopped mid-syllable, and Kurt saw her glasses reflected the jiggling lines of his team bio signals. He'd had no idea she could intercept their encrypted comm channel.
You're wounded, she stated, and seemed to stare into his body. Internal bleeding. Your liver?
Massive laceration. Her gaze came back into focus, and her voice dropped to a whisper.
You're going to bleed out, Kurt, if I don't operate. The only thing holding you together inside is biofoam.
Kurt was lucky that Hunter's shield hadn't cut him in half.
I understand.
He rechecked his mission timer. 6 minutes, 32 seconds. I'll hold myself together for a few more minutes. Then you can do whatever you want to me. He looked past Dr. Halsey to the central rift. The rings here were flattening fastest. The ledges were only an eighth of a meter high and visibly contracting. Within the rift, he caught flashes of golden sunlight. There were other colors, green, blue, and brown. But the distortion was so great, Kurt couldn't focus on what shapes lay beyond. Once it closes, the slipspace field will remain intact?
I have no reason to believe otherwise, she replied.
Impenetrable, Kurt whispered.
To any force in our normal three dimensions, yes.
The Sentinels, the Halo Rings, this so-called shield world, and the clockwork design that the Forerunners had set in motion millennia ago was about to end.
And it made sense to Kurt.
At least, it made sense in terms of him now having a winning option. He unpolarized his faceplate and looked at her.
I think I understand what you were trying to tell me before, Doctor. The Forerunners built this construct to protect these Reclaimers from the Halo detonations, like a bomb shelter. But they never got inside. You were going to use it for the Spartans.
Behind the sharpened edge of the shield, Dr. Halsey quoted,
safe, perhaps from everything.
He locked stares with her and nodded. I'm sending Team Saber, Mendez, and you ahead. She blinked. I thought you said we stay together. For the last 2 decades, Kurt had struggled to keep his Spartans alive. But what if Dr. Halsey had been correct and all their battles meant nothing? What if no matter how valiant the fight, they could not win this war? Did it make sense to die, or was it better to live to fight another day, even if that day was very far away? He turned back to the Spartans. Tom, Lucy, Team Saber, he said over the comm. Set Dante and Will on the pods.
Saber will go ahead and scout the core. Tom and Lucy nodded, and with help from Olivia and Mark, they gathered the fallen Spartans. Ash jumped into the center and approached.
Sir,
he said, we're not leaving the fight. This isn't about a fight, Kurt told him. You have a mission to accomplish, son. Carry out my orders.
Understood, sir.
Ash motioned for Olivia and Mark to join him near the rift.
Go,
Ash told them. Olivia and Mark looked at Kurt, and then together, jumped into the brilliance. There were a pair of flares, and they vanished. Ash hesitated. His hand moved up as if to salute, but he stopped, recalling the standing order of no saluting in combat arenas. He stood straighter, gave Kurt a nod, and jumped after his teammates. Kurt keyed the comm.
Saber One, you read me?
Where go?
Ash's voice Doppler to the ultrasonic.
Saber One, Ash!
Static washed over the channel. Not even a comm signal made it through, an observation that only strengthened Kurt's conviction that he was doing the right thing. He hoped for the best, hoped Saber and the others would be okay.
Pods, Kurt said, and motioned toward Tom and Lucy. His NCOs pushed the cryopods and the bodies of Will and Dante through.
More flashes. Silence.
Chief,
Doctor, Kurt said,
you're next.
Mendez looked to the spatial rift and then to Kurt. He swallowed and said,
aye, aye, sir. We'll see you on the other side.
For once, Dr. Halsey had nothing to say. Instead, she made the traditional Spartan two-finger smile gesture over her face. She blinked quickly and then turned to the fissure. Mendez took her hand, and they stepped and were gone.
They're starting,
Fred announced over the comm.
Guard the opening, you two,
Kurt ordered Lucy and Tom. Kurt then moved back up to the edge of the hill and watched with Fred as 150 elites moved toward them. This time, it was not a slow, careful march with overlapped shields. They charged en masse. Banshees swooped up and over the formation, too high and too low, accelerating ahead of the Covenant infantry and then over the hill. They ducked behind the towers, and then Linda popped out as the Banshees passed.
I have them.
Linda's sniper rifle was to her shoulder. She stood motionless for a heartbeat, then fired once at the receding flyers, moved her aim slightly, and fired once more. The rear two Banshee pilots fell. Riderless, the Banshees nosed to the floor, bounced, and sparked to a halt. Linda dropped the magazine, examined the chamber, cycled the bolt, and then set it down.
I'm out.
Kurt, Kelly, and Fred leveled their assault rifles at the remaining flyers and opened fire. Tracer rounds arced through the air and stitched over the Banshees. Smoke billowed from the leader and erupted into a ball of flame that smeared through the air. The last lone Banshee pulled up and circled back. The advancing horde of elites and hunters was only 200 meters away. A few in their ranks fired, and wild energy bolts streaked overhead. The towers now lay 30 degrees off the deck, and the hill only 3 meters tall. Kurt knew they'd soon have no cover left. Fred glanced at the open smoking bolt of his MAB-5.
I'm out too,
he said. Kurt opened up the administrative subdirectory on his heads-up display and accessed Spartan 104's file.
As acting CEO of Team Blue, I am hereby granting you a field commission to the rank of lieutenant junior grade,
Kurt told Fred.
Congratulations.
Fred shook his head, not understanding. Kurt uploaded Fred's change of rank, and his IFF icon blinked to the star and bar insignia of lieutenant.
As an officer, you'll have to keep your eye on the larger picture, Fred. Get your team through that slipspace field. I'll be right behind you.
Linda and Kelly gathered around them.
Kelly whispered, We lost you once, Kurt. We're not going to leave you again.
Plasma artillery pounded the face of the hill, shattering stone, and superheated convection rolls distorted the air.
No one's leaving anyone behind, Kurt assured her. I just have to rig a little welcome present for our friends.
He grabbed the pack with the Fenris warheads and swung it over his shoulder. Kelly, Linda, and Fred exchanged glances.
I'll be right behind you, Kurt told them. Now go. The Spartan Threes are going to need you.
A hail of needler shards arced up and over the top of the slope, impacting the surfaces around them. The Spartans huddled together, presenting the smallest target surface, their energy shields flaring as the crystal rounds detonated. The hardened plates of Kurt's spy armor cracked, and the concussion rattled his bones and splintered the hardening biofoam in his abdomen. He tasted fresh blood. The bombardment ceased.
"Hurry!"
Kurt told them. They all jogged to the center. The rift was fading and was now only a meter across. Deep inside, Kurt caught sight of a ribbon of blue and silver. Water glistening in the sunlight? Kelly and Linda entered without hesitation. Fred halted, turned, and held out his hand. Kurt took it and shook. Fred stepped backward and vanished. Only Tom and Lucy remained, still standing guard by the rift. Their spy armor picked up and mimicked the gold sunlight in the fissure.
"Okay, you two."
"With all due respect, sir," Tom said, "we're not leaving. You'll have to court-martial us."
Lucy said nothing, but made her intention to fight understood as she hefted her last Spanker missile launcher.
The rift wavered, dimmed, and contracted to a mere half-meter.
"There's no time for this," Kurt growled.
Tom took a step closer to Lucy. Of course. Kurt had been foolish to think Tom and Lucy would leave him after so many years together, orders or not. Perhaps they even knew what he had in mind. "Okay, you win. How much ammunition do you have?" Kurt moved to Tom. "We'll pool our reserves." Tom looked down at his rifle. Kurt hit him, his flattened palm connecting with the underside of Tom's helmet. The impact lifted the Spartan a half meter off the ground, and he landed in a heap. Kurt wheeled on Lucy and held up a warning finger, indicating that she stay put. He checked Tom's biosigns. No bones broken, no cerebral swelling, just cold cocked.
"He'll live," he said.
"You're both going to live. Now give me a hand." Shadows crisscrossed the hill, and 50 meters overhead, Kurt watched three Banshees streak past. Lucy dropped the missile launcher and helped Kurt pull Tom up. Kurt wrapped his limp arm around her shoulder.
"You two didn't survive Pegasi Delta to die here," he told her. "There's too much left for you to do."
She shook her head violently back and forth.
"Yes," he said. "Don't make me."
His vision blurred, and a wave of dizziness washed over him. His heart struggled, pumping harder and faster. There was a warm trickle in his stomach. He was losing more blood, slipping into shock. Plasma bolts stitched the stone nearby, shattering them as Banshees screamed by on a strafing run.
"Please," he whispered.
Lucy reached up to Kurt's faceplate, touching two fingers to his mouth. She struggled to make a sound, but all she could manage was a half-choked cry. He took her hand, gave it a squeeze, and let go. Lucy lingered, looked at Kurt one last time, and then slipped into the rift.
"Goodbye," he said.
They were gone. All of them.
Now Kurt could concentrate on what had to be done.
He picked up Tom's MA5K. Its ammo counter indicated half a magazine. It would have to do. He grabbed the last missile launcher, too. He was sure he could find a use for it. The hill around the center was only a meter tall now, and shrinking rapidly as the concentric rings eased back to the floor of the room. The fin-like towers folded inward, almost flat against the ground. Elite snipers poked over the top of the hill and fired a tight cluster of plasma. Kurt was too slow to dodge the shots. His spy armor heated, cracked, and half of his chest plate shattered away. Smoldering, Kurt dropped to his knees. Blackness clouded his mind. He struggled to stay conscious, fought his way back by sheer willpower, and his vision cleared. The snipers backed away, not bothering to finish him off. More elites appeared on the hill, now only a half meter tall, sinking even faster toward a level topology. A hunter pair appeared on the slight rise and assessed Kurt. They snorted, unimpressed.
"Almost there," he thought. "Almost done. Almost won."
Kurt grabbed up the Spanker launcher and fired from the hip. The missile rocketed toward one hunter, hit, exploded, and knocked it off the top. Kurt leveled his assault rifle and sprayed the other hunter, but it turtled behind its shield. The rifle's bolt clacked, empty. The hunter stood and growled. Its mate, bloodied and still smoking from the missile impact, stomped toward Kurt, hands ready to tear him to pieces. Kurt ventured a glance back. The rift was only a flicker now, and shrinking. His mission timer read 47 seconds.
A sharp bark behind the hunters made them halt in their tracks. An elite in golden armor strode toward them, gracing Kurt with a glance that was part disdain and part respect. It jabbered orders at the hunters and the others. Kurt's translation software deciphered part of this.
Damage not the centaur. Engineers with the slipspace field shunts, reopen the silver gate. Glory is ours!
A roar of thunderous triumph burst from the gathered covenant. Kurt struggled to rise. There was more pain than he'd ever felt, and his legs had turned to wet sand. His vision tunneled, but he got to his feet and raised both hands into a fighting stance.
You haven't won, Kurt said. You've still got me to get through.
The shipmaster assessed Kurt and nodded, perhaps understanding him, perhaps not. It gazed upon Kurt as an equal, a fellow warrior. Around them the concentric rings settled to the floor, and with a whispered hiss, all of the ridges melded into a single smooth surface. The fins touched down silently. 13 clamping armatures splayed 2 meters from the center of the room. His countdown timer blinked at him. 0. He exhaled. The rift was closed. Kurt opened his team roster, subheading status, and moved Will, Spartan 043, Dante, Spartan G188, and Holly, Spartan G003, to the missing in action column, adhering to the tradition of never listing a fallen Spartan as killed in action. Kurt then highlighted Lieutenant Commander Kurt Ambrose and moved that name to the MIA list as well. Next to Kurt, Spartan 051. The room started to spin. His mouth went dry. He tried to swallow. Couldn't. His vision doubled, and he thought he saw Tom and Lucy come back to get him. But it wasn't them. It was Shane, Robert, and Jane from Team Wolfpack. There were hundreds of Spartans with him on the platform, from Alpha and Beta companies, Dante, Holly, Will, and even Sam, all ready to fight and win this last battle with him. Hallucination? Maybe. It was nonetheless welcome. The ghostly Spartans nodded and gave him the thumbs-up, can-do signal. Kurt wouldn't let them down. All he had to do was single-handedly stop a Covenant army. One last impossible mission, the short definition of any Spartan. It was the least he owed them. The Fleetmaster Elite snarled at Kurt, and the translation filtered through his helmet speaker.
One last fight, demon. You will die, and we shall reopen the Silver Path.
Die? Kurt laughed. Didn't you know? He told the Elite. Spartans never die. Kurt turned his gauntlet face up and pressed the detonator.